Hey, what's up, folks? This is the Eric Bailey Blog Podcast, episode 9. No, it's not dead. That is the name of the episode. I just wrapped up finals week, and that was really rough for me, seeing as how it's my first semester legitimately doing this full-time and on an actual campus. So doing that and working full-time and having a toddler, man, I'm like, you know, my plate's pretty full, but I think that I did okay. I'm not going to brag and say that I did fantastically because I know I didn't, but, you know, I set out on a path and I want to see it all the way through. So that's the biggest reason why I really haven't been able to dedicate a whole lot of time to this. But that's all right, though. I got a big announcement coming for episode 10. Could it be a week from now? Could it be 3 months from now? I don't know. Y'all just going to have to stay tuned to check it out. But enough about what's going to go on in the future. Let's have a discussion with what's going on now. So the biggest thing that I want to talk about, probably in the comic book world, seeing as how we're in the golden age of these comic book movies. I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was a real big thing for these things to come out because, you know, the budget was going to be really hard to approve. They didn't really know exactly what, you know, crossover appeal things would have. So, you know, getting a Blade trilogy made or, you know, the back half of those two Batman movies, the Joel Schumacher ones, you know, those were big things. Now we get like three of them a year and don't even bat an eye. But we're just going to dive right into this one. Robert Pattinson. I don't hate it. I don't hate it because I want to see Batman. Batman, it's a very narrow margin. I got to give Marvel its credit for kind of upping the ante on how we view a lot of their prior, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They took a lot of C-plus and B-minus heroes and made them household names, you know, prior to even through the Dark World, no one really cared about Thor. I mean, it took Ragnarok to actually make people really care about Thor. But, yeah, by far, Batman is my it used to be by far that Batman was my favorite superhero. Batman still is my favorite superhero, but, you know, there are a couple of other people, even in the Marvel Universe, that have kind of narrowed that gap, even though, you know, to my dying day, I will remain a bigger DC fan than Marvel, just because it's what I grew up on. I grew up on the Paul Dini and Bruce Timm universe of DC Animated. I still think that the Batman animated series still holds up. I think that the Superman animated series is probably the best, one of the best iterations of Superman ever. So again, I'm just going to always be a bigger DC fan, and I mean, I'll admit it's my answer's, you know, my opinion is biased. So I really want to see Batman flourish, especially on the big screen, because a lot of opponents of DC and a lot of opponents, especially of their shared universe right now, is that DC fans need to stop clinging on to the Dark Knight. And I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I want to see something. I want to see Batman in a new franchise flourish just as much as Michael Keaton got to do in his two cranks at bat, his two at-bats at Batman, pun intended, or, you know, how Christian Bale was able to kind of take the role of Batman in a new direction, more grittier take, more realistic take, and I want to see somebody else do that. I thought that Ben Affleck was okay in Dawn of Justice. I really wanted to see more of that continue, but, man, they just really took a left turn going in the Justice League, which I really wanted to like that movie. I really did. In fact, I've been going back watching a lot of the DC Shared Universe films. And I got to say, upon second look, a lot of them aren't that bad. They're not making the money that, you know, obviously the Marvel Cinematic Universe is making. But I would probably say the biggest criticism that I have of the DCEU right now is they're not really concerned with making movies. They're just concerned with competing with Marvel, and it shows. Especially when you kind of just went on a different tangent from Man of Steel. Because Man of Steel actually wasn't a terrible movie. There are some things that, you know, based on continuity and story, could have been a whole lot better. But overall, it wasn't a bad take. So I really want to see this get successful. And maybe with this little soft reboot that they're doing with Robert Pattinson, I really want it to be successful. I don't know. There was a lot of criticism around Robert Downey Jr. just becoming sober when he got Iron Man. And, you know, we all love him 3000 now. So, you know, the 10 Things I Hate About You guy got cast to play the Joker, and everybody was like, yo, it's the Brokeback Mountain 10 Things I Hate About You guy. He's not going to be a good Joker. So, I don't know, man. You know, if Robert Pattinson grows a little scruffy shadow, bulks up a little bit, who knows? It'll be interesting to take. Worst case scenario, he's already kind of a vampire, so he's got that going on for him. They turn into bats, right? But on a serious note, having said that, you haven't re-upped Henry Cavill's contract to keep playing Superman, so I'm just gonna throw this splash out there. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Hear me out on this. Taylor Lautner is Clark Kent. All I'm saying is it makes for a better Batman v Superman Part 2 further down the road. You can already build on that. It's good to go. So just throwing that out there. I don't really think he's doing anything else anyway. So there's that. So yeah, it'll be fun to watch. In terms of basketball, I'm heartbroken because I don't really know what the Lakers are doing. I don't think that the Lakers know what the Lakers are doing, so it's just hard to watch that shit show. You know, we've been in the lottery. This is going to be, what, the fifth pick in 6 years that we've been in the lottery? And we're already talking about trading Lonzo Ball after, which, I mean, the Lakers have pretty much been consistent in that regard for the last 6 years, is we tank, get a lottery pick, give them 2 years, and then ship them right out. So, I mean, they are staying pretty current and consistent with this whole trading Lonzo Ball talk, which, honestly, I didn't really like at first because I was a bigger D'Angelo Russell fan, and I tip my hat to what he's doing in Brooklyn. You know, he was the spearhead that got the Nets to the playoffs. Now, granted, the Nets are a really good young team, and they have a lot of really good young talent, so you can't really place the blame of success on any one particular person. I think that D'Angelo Russell is the biggest personality, so he does deserve a little more credit than probably any other player. But, you know, to say that he got the team there on his own, I think would be unfair. So I did like D'Angelo Russell. I would have liked to keep D'Angelo Russell, and I was looking forward to that being a very good backcourt in D'Angelo Russell and Lonzo Ball going forward, and that really wasn't really wasn't what happened. So because of that, and then you mix the whole LeVar Ball thing into it, I'll just come out and admit that I really wasn't a big Lonzo Ball fan. His game kind of grew on me. That jump shot, I'm still not a huge fan of that jump shot. But in a shooter, in a shooter's league, you kind of have to shoot. Now, if you can't shoot, if you can do other things, great. And I think that Lonzo Ball does a lot of kind of intangible things that you really want a point guard to do really well that I think that you kind of missed last year, because everybody talks the whole hype about, like, LeBron went down for 18 games. They were 20-14. And I want to say their record versus the place that they were in, because trust me, that was going to fluctuate anyway. They weren't going to stay. Even if LeBron had stayed healthy, they weren't going to stay fourth, simply because I don't really start judging teams. I don't really start looking at records in basketball until Christmas Day anyway. And even then, I don't really put a whole lot of thought into it. It's more so just, you know, when you start looming around the trade deadline to see what little bits and pieces you can do to make your team a little bit better and get over the hump. So the thing is, yeah, they were in fourth place, but they were only, what, like two games away from being like ninth place or something like that. So the West was incredibly close at that point in time. And even if LeBron James had stayed healthy, he's on the back end of his career, regardless of how great he is and how much better he was than everybody else. And trust me, he was better than everybody else. He's on the back half of his career. So he wasn't going to give you 82 games of LeBron anyway. He wasn't going to do that. And then when you mix the fact that the team is pretty much constructed with, like, Ingram's in his third year and he's still trying to figure out what he's going to do. And then you got, you know, second-year Kuzma, second-year Lonzo Ball, second-year Josh Hart, and then a whole bunch of other has-beens that even in their heyday really weren't all that great. And, you know, like Lance Stevenson's on the decline. You know, Lonzo Ball's on the decline. I really like JaVale McGee, but, as your starting center, yeah, I mean, he was good. But, like, dude, the Lakers weren't really going – they weren't going to stay – they weren't going to be a home court advantage in the opening round of the playoff team anyway. They were probably going to be, you know, in the bottom half. They were probably going to be maybe, like, you know, fifth or sixth at best. The impact that Lonzo Ball had – and his injury had probably had just as much of an impact on losing LeBron. Because remember, LeBron came back, and not a whole lot changed. Because LeBron went down, and, you know, they struggled. They're kids. You know, I think that, I don't really pay attention to know their exact ages, but they're all like 22. You know, so the nucleus, the core of the L.A. Lakers is like 22-year-olds. So they're going to struggle. But they did okay. You know, like, they went out on the road and beat OKC. They were beating the brakes off Houston when Lonzo Ball got injured. So, you know, I think that they were going to be okay. And Lonzo Ball was kind of one of those people that maybe doesn't fill out a stat sheet, but, you know, he sets people up, make sure that other players get in their spot and set them up to do what they do. And, again, that grew on me. I really wasn't a big fan of it, but it grew on me. So the fact that the Lakers are trying to flip that for more picks, like, I don't really know exactly how many times you need to hit the reset button, especially when you see players like James Harden took three, four years to really grow into their own. Players like Giannis, and I'm not going to say Greek Freak. I'm not going to say his name because, you know, like, that man's earned our respect. So I'm going to take a crack at it. I'm going to probably be wrong. Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo took 3-4 years. Paul George took 3-4 years. Klay Thompson took, 3-4 years. Curry came into the league shooting, but you also got to remember he was a three-year college player. So, and even then, you know, Golden State,